Anyhow, I'm going to do something a little different. I should have been a little bit more clear, but that's okay. I'll just do this. Yeah, I'm sorry. We like to pick on each other, don't we? That's what happens when you work together. We've been in a series. If you've missed any of the series that we've been doing, we're on the presence of God, and so they're online at our YouTube page or on our Facebook page, which our Facebook page has a link to our YouTube page, so you can skip a step and just go to YouTube. But that's up to you. I would encourage you to watch them because it is kind of going into one another. And we started the series a couple weeks ago with the presence of God in the Old Testament. And it was that God is somewhere out there. He's outside of us. And then last week, we dealt with the presence of God in the Gospels, which is God with us. And just like with the first plan, there was a better plan. With the second plan, which is God with us, there was a better plan, which comes to this week, which is the presence of God in the New Testament, which is God in us. Jim, I'm getting a little bit of I don't know what it is, if it's an echo in the monitors or something, so if you could please take that off. But I actually didn't want to put this as in the New Testament, because last week we did the Gospels, and the Gospels are, according to our Bibles, in the New Testament. But it just had to fit because we're doing the rest of the New Testament, what the rest of the New Testament talks about in regards to God in us. But that also in itself is kind of weird, because I'm actually going to read to you today, or have read to you today, from the book of John, which is actually in the Gospels, but it's in the New Testament, so it kind of fits. But you all know that I'm kind of strange, so you got it already? Oh, well, look at you. I'm going to get Jen to come up and read to you John chapter 14.
John chapter 14. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you have known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus said to him, Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? Who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that I said to you, I go away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Get up, let us go from here.
Thank you. I found this passage extremely interesting. It's actually even more interesting because as she's reading it, like, because I've read this a few times over the past week and stuff, but as she was reading it, more sermons came to me. But anyhow, we won't go there. We're going to just explain a little bit about this. Oh boy, it's not turning. Come on, turn. There we go. I'm going to just explain a little bit of this, and I thought I'd do it beforehand so that I didn't have to write it and take up so much time. But verse 9, it says, He who has seen Jesus has seen the Father. Verse 11 says, Jesus is in the Father, and the Father is in Jesus. Verse 17 says, The Spirit abides with us and is in us. Verse 18, Jesus will come to us. Verse 19, we will see Jesus. Verse 20, Jesus is in the Father, we are in Jesus, and Jesus is in us. And verse 23 says, Jesus and the Father will come to us and make their home in us. Now, this is a really interesting part here, because the word home in the Greek is mone. And some of you, and we even read it, it says abode. But it can be meaning as home. But in verse 2, it also says, In my Father's house, which is a different word that's actually oikos, are many dwelling places, which is the same word mone as it says when it says make their abode in us or their home in us, make their dwelling place in us. As in the Father's house are many dwelling places. And we will get there a little bit more later a bit. But it's not the crux of the message. Jesus says throughout John chapter 14, I go to the Father. He goes so that in the spiritual realm, he can prepare us to be dwelling places. I don't know if you caught that. He says, I go to prepare a place for you, but I'm going to prepare a place for you that's a dwelling place for me, is how he says it. In Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 to 12, I'm not going to read it to you just for sake of time, but we've studied this in the past, but it talks about Jesus going into the spiritual tabernacle and sprinkling his blood, not the blood of goats and sheep, which do not have the power to cleanse our consciousness, but he goes with his blood the pure blood of Jesus Christ that was spilled on the cross, and he sprinkles all of the elements of the tabernacle and prepares it. And then in verse 21 to 23 of Hebrews chapter 9, it says that the sprinkling of blood cleansed us all and prepared us to receive Christ and the Father. It cleansed us so that his presence could be amongst us. And he did all this so that where he is, there we will be also. Brings a lot of questions to my head. Because it just says where he wants to do all this stuff, he prepares this place for us so that where he is, we will be with him. And then he says, and I come down and I make my place in you, the dwelling place. So the dwelling place he's preparing is us. The big item in this is verse 20. It says, in that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. We all know that we are in Christ and that he is in us. But what about us in the Father and the Father in us? It's just a difference. There's a difference there. Now, I'm going to switch gears for just a moment. The problem is that we're going from first to fifth, but you will hopefully catch on what we are talking about. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 to 27 says, for you all are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. That's all of you. As long as you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are now a sons of God. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. Now, this does not refer to water baptism, but being merged with Christ. And Christ is the anointed and his anointing. So we've been merged with the anointed and his anointing. It brings us to like Acts chapter 10, verse 38, where it says that Jesus Christ did all of these miracles and he healed all of the sick and he took away all the powers of the devil because he was anointed with God and it was God was with him. And so we have the same thing. We have this anointed and anointing, and we can do so many things that Jesus said that you will do the same things and more than what he did. Why? Because we are baptized into the anointed and his anointing. And God is with us. Which brings us to 2 weeks ago, talking about God, or last week, which is God with us, Emmanuel. And then Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24. Says that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So baptized into Christ, clothed with Christ, and now we are putting on this new self that is the very image and likeness of God himself. And that self, that new self that we put on, was created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. It's already there. It's on you. Colossians 3, verse 10. And it says, and have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Again, God's creating us. He's created us to be these righteous and holy beings that we need to put that self on us. We put aside the old self. We don't do those things anymore. It's not in our nature. Our new nature is this righteousness and holiness. And then one more, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, which we talk about a lot. It says, "We all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit." We are destined to be the image of Christ. We are supposed to be showing the anointed and the anointing that comes with it. How? Well, we show them Christ. And I'll quickly just turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, which says, "To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Christ in you is the hope of glory. It's not Christ is the hope of glory. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Or you could say, the hope of glory is Christ in you. So let's go back to John 14. The disciples asked Jesus in verse 8 to show them the Father. And what is his response? Well, his response is, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." He says in verse 10, It says, "Because I am in the Father and the Father is in me." So he who has seen me has seen the Father, because the Father is in me and I am in the Father. The same principle we have for Christ. If Christ is in me, then you should see Christ because Christ is in me and I am in Christ. That's what we've been talking about through this. So you look to me, you see Christ. I look to you, I should see Christ. This is what it is. This is what we reflect. Yes, I see Charlie, I see Gail, I see Jen, I see all of you. But in it all, I see Christ. And because I see Christ in you, you are the hope of glory. But then it's the same principle for the Father and the Spirit. Jesus Christ, the Father, the Spirit, and I are one. How can I say this? Because I am in Christ, Christ is in me. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. I am in the Spirit, and the Spirit is in me. Don't just take my word for it, and don't dismiss it either, because Jesus said it right here in John 14. So we just dealt with all of this in a downward manner. But let's look at it the other way. So I'm going to take this with me so I can stay up here a little bit. Because I did this actually backwards. I should have done it upside down so I would have been able to figure it out. Because Jesus and the Father come to us and make their home in us, Jesus and the Father are in us. Because they've made their home in us, we are in them and they are in us. We will see Jesus because... We will see Jesus because Jesus comes to us. We see him. I see him because I look out at you. I'm now seeing Jesus. There he is. All over this place. Look around. Seriously, I'm seeing it. I see it so clear. I encourage you to look around and see it. Just look in the Spirit and see Jesus all around you. in everyone. None of you are looking around. Especially those of you in the front. You're laughing, but that was you too. Where was I? Jesus will see us, or we will see Jesus because Jesus comes to us. And how do they do this? Well, it's because the Spirit abides with us and is in us. And then Jesus is in the Father, and the Father is in Jesus, and we are in Jesus, and we are in the Father. So therefore, he who has seen us has seen Jesus and the Father. Do you see how it works? I hope I'm not the only one. When people look at us, they should see Christ. When people look at us, they should see the Father. And you know, I wonder if the first verse is the key. Because in order for you to reflect Christ out of you or reflect the Father out of you, you need to believe that it's true. So he opens the chapter by saying, you believe in God? Believe also in me. And then he starts to talk about dwelling places. And he ends the chapter talking, or ends this portion of talking about dwelling places. Ephesians says that our new self is the very likeness of God. Colossians says we are renewed according to his image. 2 Corinthians says that as we study the word, the mirror, we are transformed into that very image that we see, the image of Christ, the word of God. As we look into Christ, we see him and we are revealed. That's it's revealed who he is, and we are just as he is in this world, in 1 John chapter 4. But here's an interesting thought. As we look to him in the mirror, if we are in him and he is in us, then what does he see in the mirror? He sees us. Does that make sense? If we are in him and he is in us, not only do we see him in the mirror, but he sees us in the mirror. And that's not the end either. Is it possible that Jesus and the Father coming to make their home in us is what Jesus was talking about when he said at the beginning, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many, many dwelling places, many homes. The King James puts it as mansions. But you know, in all reality, this in the English, this conjures up a picture of like my house has four bedrooms. But the actual Greek does not say things like there are individual compartments in this dwelling place of God. So is he talking to us individually saying, each one of you is my dwelling place? Well, of course. Do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? And if you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, guess who's there? The Father and the Son. Jesus Christ and the Father have made their home in you. In you, not with you or outside you, but in you. He went away to that spiritual tabernacle to create a temple. And that's you. He prepared it so that you could make it into an abode, a place where he dwells, that where we are, he would be. There are many dwelling places. There are many Christians or homes. We we could continue on into John chapter 15, because that talks all about the abiding with him and he with us. But I don't think I'm going to do that today. So I know it's short, but you know what? Stay tuned for episode 4. That's next week. I personally have been looking forward to episode 4 since episode 1 came out. But I have no idea what it's going to look like. I'm just excited about it. And God hasn't showed me what we are going to do next week. But I honestly don't think that you really want to miss it. I feel like Mr. Beaton. But you know what? I want you to take some opportunities to, and you can go up to the piano and if you want, please. I want you to take opportunity to look into John chapter 15. And I would encourage you to maybe take it now. We're going to go into a time of communion, but before you come up, if you have it available to you, read John chapter 15, verses 1 to 11, and just meditate on what it's saying. We're going to have communion, and I'm going to have you guys all come up. We're going to try and do it a little bit less bottleneck than it was the last time I did this. We'll put communion on over there and communion over here so you guys can split up and figure that out. But if God and the Father and Jesus Christ are wanting to make their home in you, there's an abiding that happens. Do you know what happens when you live with somebody? You start to act like them. Those of you who have been married for quite a while are laughing at me right now. Because, not because it's funny, but because it's true. You start to do things that are the same. So when Jesus is saying, I want to come in and make my home in you, he says, I want you to act like me. Guess what? Jesus ain't going to change to act like you. And thank goodness, he wants you to act like him. That's why we clothe ourselves in him. And so I want you to just take a moment, if you can, in John chapter 15, verses 1 to 11, read it, dwell on it. What is God wanting to say to you about it? And in the time that you have, whatever time that is, it could be a moment, it could be 10, 15 minutes, I don't know, whatever time it takes, then you feel free to come up and take communion and take it back with you and either take it with someone else or take it on your own. You don't have to feel even obliged to come up and get any. Know that God is with you. God is around you. But most importantly, God is in you. So I encourage you, meditate on those words and then come on up.
life with you. There's acceptance in your voice. You whisper tenderly. You are my beloved, chosen one, my friend. You're so precious to me. Now that I am here with you, there's no place I'd rather be. There's acceptance in your voice. You whisper tenderly. You say, I am your beloved. I'm chosen one, my friend. You're so precious to me. There's no place I'd rather be. Now that I
may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he grant you peace. He says, my peace I leave with you, but not peace as the world knows. But don't expect the same thing that the world would expect when it comes to peace. May his countenance shine upon you and be gracious to you. And I would say, may God be with you. But I say, may God be in you. Go in him because he is in you. See you next time. Thank you.